Our first speaker, Mr. Dennis Hoiberg, is a human resources consultant with Rimfire Resources and will be addressing the topic of agriculture, trends in the workforce and needs. Please welcome Dennis.
Thank you, Lee. Let me reintroduce myself to you. My name is Dennis Hoiberg. Thanks for the opportunity of talking with you. I wanted today to share some of the experiences that Rimfire's had over the last couple of years on some of the strategies that we've been working with in terms of developing regional sustainability workforces. I've titled this session Lessons Learned from Creating Regional Sustainable Workforces for reasons that will become fairly obvious in a moment. I thought with the time I've got available with you, I would talk about this topic structured around a few elements. First of all, to explain the context of what we talked to you from and some of the experiences we've had over the last couple of years on this topic. I want to talk to you about some of the lessons learnt that we've experienced in this thing about developing sustainable workforces in regions. From the experience we've had over the last couple of years, I guess there are a couple of messages that have sort of jumped out at us that I'd like to share at a regional perspective. I'd also like to talk specifically to agriculture employers about some of the messages that we've learnt, or some of the messages I'd like to give you. Equally, I'd like to talk to some of the mining employers about some of the messages that, again, we've learnt from our experience. And then I just thought I'd finish off my presentation by saying, if you are looking at this topic about regional sustainable workforces, here are some clues and here are some recommendations. Rimfire Consulting we started off as initially as a recruitment organisation in the agribusiness space many years ago. All the people who work for us essentially come from the agribusiness sector or from regional rural Australia. As our business evolved, we started to expand our activities into human resource and remuneration benchmarking services for the agribusiness sector. And over the last couple of years, we're tended to expand into broader organisational improvement and industry and community resilience activities. We do a lot of work, a fair amount of work. My background is in the social sciences, and we do a fair amount of work in the area of community resilience, depression, etc. In regional rural Australia. Because of the involvement we have with the industry and community resilience, we were asked a couple of years ago in 2007-2008 the project manager role, a project sponsored by the National Farmers Federation, Mineral Council of Australia and DEWA, Department of Employment, Education and Workplace, I think it is, to identify ways to develop a pool for skilled talent for both the agriculture and mining sectors. So I'm only going to be talking to you today from the agriculture and mining sectors because that's really the summary of the work that I did. I do want to stress though that I'm not talking to you on behalf of the NFF or the Mineral Council of Australia or DEWA, but I am talking to you from my experiences of working with various regions around Australia on this topic of sustainable workforces. And look, a little bit about the project that we were involved with a couple of years ago. We essentially had three sites. We had the Upper Spencer Gulf, which was centred sort of around Whyalla in South Australia. We had another site, Central Plains, essentially structured around Dubbo in New South Wales, and we also had Townsville Mount Isa corridor we worked in, because we saw those three parts of Australia as being a fairly strong mixture of both agricultural and mining employers and facing similar challenges in terms of competition, shared work numbers, etc. And the objective of the project was really to seek ways to gain engagement from employers and other relevant bodies to develop strategy to create this pool of skilled labour for both sectors. The context was, and we'll all remember, that there was a fair amount of competition for people. Essentially, there just wasn't enough people. And trying to develop strategies that could meet both sectors. As the project unfolded, an additional activity was developed around Geraldton and WA. And I guess this thing about the experience I had in Geraldton WA is probably worthwhile just touching on briefly, because it does highlight this issue of regional sustainability. When I first went across to Geraldton in about 2008, late 2008, I can remember sitting in a meeting with in Geraldton, and essentially the message was, we're all going to die, so get used to it. I was told that the agricultural sector was pretty much gone, and people would be walking off the farm because the wheat was another failed session. And we also had people in the room from the Iron Ore Alliance in WA saying, don't you worry about it, we're going to save you. Our sector's going to be so busy around this area and that we're going to need as many people as we can possibly get working for us. But essentially, agriculture, you're going to die, so enjoy it. I went back there probably 6 or 7 months later after that event, and things had changed entirely. There had been a change of state government, the weather conditions had changed, the global financial crisis started to hit. And essentially the message in the room was, from the mining area, we're all going to die, and agriculture was saying, well, we need more people because we've had one of the best harvests ever. And what the economists were telling us about what was happening in the sector was entirely different to what the actual dynamic was. And what I saw in that 12-month period of working in the Geraldton community was the real need for regional sustainability, because industry dynamics change. And what the challenge for regions are that they are to respond to those dynamics. So that was the background of the project. Look, I guess there are a couple of major lessons for me observing those four communities over probably an 18-month, two-year period, and that was, this is the theme of this conference, I guess, it is all about regional sustainability. But the other observation I'd make is, whilst I work in the agricultural and mining sectors, it isn't about the agricultural and mining sector. It's much bigger than that. Right? And I reckon one of the lessons I learned from working with these communities is that really it's about communities coming together. It's probably through a proactive economic development board or something like that. I'll talk a little bit about that later on in my presentation. But to start to take control and start to influence the long-term economic and social sustainability of the region. The thing that I learnt most from that experience was we've got to stop talking employment sectors. We're going to have to start thinking this concept of regional sustainability. Because if we don't, we're going to lose a lot of opportunities. Under those lessons, I think there are a couple of messages for regions I'd like to give and like you to start thinking about. And some of those messages are this. There is competition for people. There's competition for labour. Right? So get over it and get on with it. I can't tell you how many meetings I sat with in the period of time when I heard so many regional development groups say to me, the problem is, Dennis, people are nicking our people. They're going to live in other parts of Australia. We just don't have enough people to meet the needs we have. My advice to people would be recognise the fact there's competition, not only within the region for people, but between regions. And my advice is to accept it, get over it and get on with it. If there is a thing called, I mentioned earlier on economic development boards, in that 18-month period, two-year period, I met some really proactive economic development boards. I met some also very woeful economic development boards. And it was all driven by the personality of the people involved and the energy of the people involved. But the one thing that sort of stood out to me, that those economic development boards or a body like that, those that facilitated the environment and created the environment for employment, for attracting employment, for attracting people, seem to be better at facilitating than doing. Those regions that seem to create the environment and bring the right people to the table and then step back and leave it to employers to get on with it seem to be more effective than those groups who seem to have an intrusive strategy. So in terms of developing sustainable workforces, I think if we are going to have these things called regional development boards or whatever you want to call them, the message for me to you is learn to facilitate, learn to create the environment, and then step back and let local employers get on with it. Facilitate, don't do. The other significant, and it hit me like a truck halfway through the project, is that if we are going to have these bodies called regional development boards or whatever, we've got to start thinking about them as a business. We have to change the way we start thinking about the environment. We have to start thinking about the region as a business, and like any other business, my advice to regions is this: develop a business plan. You know? but not only develop the business plan, implement the business plan. Again, in that period of time that I worked in that project, I was exposed to some absolutely fantastically written and fantastically published plans. Then you have to ask the question, what are you doing about these plans? And I used to get the yes minister's answer. You've got to publish a plan first, Dennis. But it is about developing your business plan, and I think also within each of the regions, it's about the stuff that we would normally think about in terms of running a business. It's about doing an environmental analysis. It's about doing things like developing key result areas around economic and cultural. I remember going to a conference up in Townsville run by the local government council, I think they were called, and I was most impressed with a lot of the actual words that people were talking about in terms of key result areas for their regions and for their councils and their communities and all that type of stuff. But you didn't have to ask too many questions on the repertory grid question on the structure that says, what are you actually doing about those things? And that's where we seem to fall down. So one of the messages I've got for regions is start thinking of yourself as a business. Develop a business plan and almost a business case. Do your environmental analysis. Develop key result areas like we would in any other business. Develop your key performance indicators. And key performance indicators are how we go against those key result areas. You know, understand what are the areas that we should be hitting to grow the region. You know, what are our yearly KPIs? What are our 6-monthly KPIs? What are our monthly KPIs? And start to really think about the community as a business. Not in terms of the traditional business paradigm, I guess, but the business in the way you create the vision, the way you build the capacity, the way you work towards that capacity, but developing your own key performance indicators. Develop action plans, the stuff that we know in any academic thing, an academic book. Develop action plans in terms of who you're talking about, what you're talking about, who's going to do what, when, all those normal things that we do. The other thing that I'm going to suggest to regions in terms of developing economic sustainable workforces is to develop your brand. Develop your story and be absolutely clear in terms of the regions about the WIIFM. Who knows what I mean by the WIIFM? Huh? What's in it for me? Yeah. And you could really, and of those four areas that I worked in last year, and obviously there are subsections in each of those areas, it became pretty clear about those organisations or those communities or those regions that had a branding strategy. Right? But you also need to have a story. I was flying up here yesterday, Tamworth, that's right, and I flew up with a bloke from the Gunnedah Shire Council. And he had his shirt on, and the Gunnedah, who can tell me the brand of the Gunnedah Shire Council? What's the little logo? Huh? Yeah, he had on his shirt Land of Opportunity. And I said to him, I said, that's a good logo, Land of Opportunity. He said, yes. He said, you can go pig shooting, you can go roo shooting, and you can go animal shooting. And I thought, well, I wonder if that's actually the story that the Gunnedah community wants to get out to the broader community. Huh? Anyone here from Gunnedah as a matter of interest? Anyone I've insulted? Oh, sorry about that. Is it right you're going to go pig shooting and roo shooting? So what I'm encouraging regions to do is get your brand, right? And out of your brand, develop your story. And out of your story, understand what's in it for me. Why would an employer want to stay in the region? Why would an employee want to move to the region? You know? Those that do have the brand, the story, and the WIIFM, I want to tell you, are very impressive folk. The other thing I want to tell you, is that obviously, again, it's common sense, there's a real need to develop strategies to engage with the community, employer groups and other such groups, you know, employee groups, community groups, you know. Now, we all know this stuff, but I want to say, again, from the experience I had, the engagement strategies vary. But those that had strong branding, strong stories, strong strategies, had a very strong engagement strategy also. And the ones I saw that didn't have a strong brand, strong stories, strong WISM are the ones who didn't have a strong engagement strategy. And so the final message I'd give regions is that, hey look, proactive people attract proactive people to achieve proactive results. I can take any region of Australia, and those that are proactive are the ones who are doing things. Those are the ones who don't have that energy are the ones that are going to struggle. Look, how many agricultural employers are there in the room right now? Can I ask you to put up your hand? Huh? Yeah, that's right, by yourself, that's fine. How many of you work? About half? Boom, boom. Look, there are a couple of messages I want to give you about this thing about agriculture. It is very easy to develop plans for agricultural sustainability, right? That's the easy part. The hard part is actually doing it. But the other thing I want to say to agricultural people, the other hard part is actually believing you can do it. The greatest threat to regional sustainability may very well be sitting in this room. Because one of the things that we are very good at agriculture is talking down the business. You know, there is a real need around Australia for the agricultural sector to talk up the business, to talk up the sector. We are, as a sector, terrible at creating negative images about our sector. You know, when I was young, Dad used to read us poetry before we used to go to bed. And the one of the poems he used to read to us was Hanrahan. You know the thing about if it doesn't stop raining soon, we're all going to be ruined. You know that one? We'll be ruined, right? Well, Dad recited that to me and I saw it as poetry. If I recited that to my kids, they would see it as a documentary about regional rural Australia, you know? Because they watch with me landline, they watch with me detriment, they watch me watch landline, all those types of skills, all that type of stuff. And I often think, why would anyone want to join our sector? Because we are really, really good at talking it down, you know? So one of the things I want to tell you, the agricultural people, is to start talking up the sector. Because we are sometimes our own worst enemy. Also, a message for agriculture is, look, we are always going to be competing for labour, right? And look, most of us, if we are going to go up against other sectors, especially mining, guess what? We're going to lose them. We aren't going to be able to compete at a whole range of levels. But the challenge is, agricultural people, is understand if you are going to lose them, the challenge is for them to want to come back to us after they've had the experience. You know? We need also to accept that we need other sectors like mining as much as they need us. And the other thing I want to tell you, agricultural employers, is that, hey look, we are not the only people who love the land. Some of the mining people I worked with over those 3 years, or 2 years, sorry, they treat the land as much as we do. They actually behave and act as custodians much better than some of the agricultural people I work with. So, you know, they are not the enemy. One of the things that a key message for agriculture that I learned is that we have to learn to collaborate. We can't keep pushing these people away. We have to learn to collaborate, and that's where this regional sustainability comes into it. Message for agriculture, some others. Look, understand we've got great skills. Because we are so good at talking ourselves down, we don't understand how skilled we are. The other is, look at your employment and management practices. Remember that people still want to work for good people, right? But agriculture, we have to start to be leaders. We have to start thinking about workforce leadership. We have to think about workforce safety. And we're not very good at that when we compare ourselves with other sectors. But as with any other region, as with any other sector in the region, let's get our act together. Let's start to speak with one voice. Because division means death in this time. Something's happened there, and it shouldn't have happened like that, should it? This is what you call technological interrupti. Are you taking over? Back to me, everyone. So what we have to do is start to act as a coordinated. As a coordinated body, division needs death. I sympathise with the NFF. The NFF would have the worst job on earth, trying to represent our sector because we are so fractionalised, right? So at a regional level, start to develop your own voice. Start to develop your own voice and start working together as a group. You're right. Do you want me to take over? Now, so there's a message for regions. Sorry about that. I got excited. Get involved and getting involved. Now, look, by the way, agricultural people, if we don't do anything to develop our workforce, that's what we're going to get. Right? So be active, get involved and be engaged. Message for mining. But the other thing I'd say to you, whilst I work with the MCO, and I'm not here to talk about them, one of the observations I was making is there's no such thing as the mining sector. What I did see within those employers, though, is I was going to call this next part of my presentation gold, silver and bronze, but I thought, well, that's a bit boring. So I'm going to define the mining sector into three categories. I call them the AFL. And the AFL is the top shelf. You know, really talented, really well organised, driven by a central body, almost like a autocratic dictatorship. But they are full of people who have got long-term commitment, and a lot of those employers already are involved with community development. And the clue is, look for the mining employer who's got a person called Manager Community Liaison Community Development. There's another level of miners, and they are what I call the rugby union level. Plenty of promise and vision, but they have trouble delivering. But they will contribute if they get the time. But they haven't got the infrastructure to really achieve their vision. They're waiting for a team like Melbourne Rebel to come in and lift the game, you know? Now, there's another category that I call the rugby league. They're here for a good time, not a long time, right? They've got little focus in participating in community development because they don't have the infrastructure. And what I want to say, a lot of the people I met pre-GFC, global financial crisis, post-global financial crisis, aren't around any longer. So they've got no real long-term commitment to community development. And the trick is to know who you're dealing with. A couple of messages about mining is, look, economic sustainability or regional economic sustainability is important to you as the rest of the community. Skills gained in agriculture can really add value to your own businesses. Trading conditions will change, so your long-term brand name is critical. You know, I reckon we saw what employment practices were like in the mining sector when the GFC occurred. Right? But like any other business, and people in the community typically have a long-term memory, don't we? You know, so understand your brand. So look, finally, look, in terms of developing a sustainable workforce, can I just give you a few clues? Regionally, get your plan together. Get the right type of engagement. It's about develop a capacity workforce plan and implement it. Training is not the answer. You know, sometimes we say, right, developing an economic workforce equals training. Training is part of it. One of the blokes I talked with on the phone, I think you might even be here, Andrew, Mr. Blewett. My exposure to him is I think he's a good thinker and is a high work ethic. I think in terms of our training strategies, we have to move away from almost structured training, or what I call portfolio training, to regional training certification. You know, make it more regionally based. And I think I know there's a bit of work on doing that, and I'd really encourage you to really drive that and start to say, what are the skills we need in this region? And let's structure training to meet that need, not the other way around. Once training gets involved, sometimes we lose the focus of why we're doing it. But it is about flexibility. It's about work practices, job sharing, attitude to employment. And it is about engagement at the local level, bringing the right people to the table. And by right, I mean those people who've got the attitude, the authority, and the willingness to give it a crack, right? To experiment with employment structures. And then there's plenty of examples where this is already happening at the local level around Australia. We just need to make it more public. But the other thing I want to tell you is build the recruitment community. Develop your own alumni of people who work here. Develop your alumni of people who left the place, you know. And hopefully our strategy is to get them to come back. Develop an information or a database about people who have expressed interest in coming up this area. Use technology to manage the community. Blogs, emails, Facebook, Twitter. Who has already got a Twitter or some way of actually communicating with potential employees who have expressed interest in it? I mean, that's the behaviour that's got to become standard. We've got to work them hard. We've got to know who they are, and we've got to keep in contact with them, because there might not be an opportunity today, but tomorrow there might be. So there's some clues that I would give you. But it is about being local, I think, keeping it as local as possible. It is about making it local. Okay, look, thanks for the opportunity. I'm pretty much out of time, I think. But look, if you do want to come and talk to me, that's a mobile number. I don't know whose it is, but ring it anyway. And that's my email address should you want to talk to me about it. Okay? Over to you.
Thank you very much, Dennis. Unfortunately, we are out of time because I'm sure there are lots of questions. But, Dennis, I think you gave us some great insights. If we sort out the football code, talk up agriculture, and brand our region, we'll have a plan.